Blog Talk Radio.
Live and based from Memphis, Tennessee, this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live, hosted by Joe Mullinax.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record, break neck spines and vertebrae, step on the plane like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirtbag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim Thug and them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like En Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Mike, check.
You prepare and you prepare. And I feel like I've said this multiple times this year coming onto the show. You prepare for a program. You bring on great guests. You have, okay, this is what we're going to talk about. This is going to be a nice, well, good flowing show. And then the Memphis Grizzlies on the day of the podcast recording break some news that kind of blows that outline straight to the nether regions, but it's a good thing. It's helped us get a successful season yet, and we are thankful to all of you listening for that. Of course, we're thankful wherever you may be, however you may be taking in the podcast. Welcome back to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Make sure you're following the show on Twitter at GBB Live. It's a great way to interact as you listen to the podcast. Also, make sure you're following me on Twitter at Joe Mullinax if you do not already do so. I am also the site manager over at SB Nation's Memphis Grizzlies blog, Grizzly Bear Blues. Make sure you are following our great Twitter account at SBN Grizzlies. We've gone over 6,000 followers in the past few days, so thanks to everyone who follows SBN Grizzlies on Twitter. And I got to tell you, if you want to see all the great content that our staff has been putting out the past week or so, make sure you're going there. I always say the strength of our site is our staff. We have one of the best in the business, not just in Grizzlies bloggerdom, but in all of NBA bloggerdom, for my opinion. I'm a little bit biased, of course, but the staff has really done a tremendous job this past week or so. So make sure you're following at SBN Grizzlies and getting all sorts of great Grizzlies content every single day. Speaking of great Grizzlies content, hopefully we're able to give that to you in podcast form. I tell you what, these Grizzlies, they've had a pretty good week. The last time we were on these Blog Talk Radio airways, I just hoped that they would pull out one win against Cleveland twice, the Golden State Warriors and then the Portland Trailblazers. Obviously not in that order, but I was just hoping that they would find a way to pull out a victory somewhere. And ladies and gentlemen, they pulled out three. They pulled out three. They went 3-1 over that stretch, looking right down the barrel of 0-4. They went 3-1 without Mike Conley, without Chandler Parsons. Truly a remarkable performance by these Memphis Grizzlies, and it's worthy of review. So that is what we are going to do on this week's podcast, a little bit different format, one segment, longer segment, but we have two great guests from the same show, and I'm excited to do this. Looking forward to talking with these guys. I've had a chance to be on their show in the past, and I am glad to return the favor here on GBB Live tonight. If you're listening to show live, you can hop into the chat room. Make sure that you are doing that. Ask questions of me or my guest. Please make this as interactive as possible. That is certainly what we want out of GBB Live. And since this is a longer one show this evening, I do want to give a shout out right now to our sponsor, FanEssentials.net. Of course, it's the holiday season. Maybe you've got a Memphis Grizzlies fan or any sports fan on your list to shop for. Easy. I can knock it out for you right now. Go to FanEssentials.net. Sign them up for a subscription to their favorite team's gear. Hopefully it's the Memphis Grizzlies, but even if it's not, Fan Essentials, likely NFL, NBA, whichever it may be, they probably got the gear for the sports fan on your list. Going to fanessentials.net, giving them a shout out. Great service. I'm a big fan of them, and I appreciate them sponsoring the show. Fanessentials.net for your gift-giving needs this holiday season for the sports fan on your Christmas list. The Memphis Grizzlies have had a crazy, crazy, crazy week. Unbelievable. I didn't think they'd go 3-1. Today, the literally unbelievable news that Mike Conley, Chandler Parsons may come back as soon as Friday night. They're officially listed as doubtful for the game against the Sacramento Kings, also known as the Jaeger Bowl, Dave Jaeger's return to the FedEx Forum. And then if they're doubtful for Friday, you know, the report from Woj of the Vertical makes it sound like Sunday is a probability. So they might even be back by Sunday if they're not playing on Friday, a lot sooner than we originally realized or thought was possible, especially in the case of Conley. James Ennis is almost certainly returning on Friday night, which will be a great addition. The Grizzlies are starting to get healthy. Don't look now. This team is together a little bit in terms of health, potentially. They lost Deontay Davis today as well for a couple of months. But they're 18-9 with Mike Conley, Chandler Parsons not being anywhere near what they thought he would be. That is darn impressive, and it is worthy of review, as I said earlier. And I'm excited to review it with these two gentlemen. They are two of the three guys, one being the producer, Justin, and the other, Kevin, being one of the co-hosts of the Drive and Dish podcast. I really enjoy their program. They do a great job on the show. And I've been a guest on their show a couple of times, so I figured it was time. Excited to have them on to talk Memphis Grizzlies basketball, and it's going to be interesting to get their perspective on a couple of these things. You know, there's larger NBA stories, of course, that I'll get their take on here in a moment as well before we get right into the Grizzlies. But first, I got to welcome them onto the show. We got a ton to talk about. We need to get started here. So Kevin and Justin, how are you gentlemen doing today?
Oh, we're great, Joe. Thanks for appreciate you having us on. You know, you've been on, like you just said, you've been on twice. So this is a cut. Wow. Great start by myself here. We're excited to join you today. And, you know, it's going to be fun. I'm excited to talk Grizzlies. I feel like every time, you know, we talk to you or we think we have a clue about this team, it just all totally goes out the window. So I think the outline just going in the trash today, it's fitting.
That usually seems to what happens.
Just not a clue at all. But, it's going to be fun. I mean, Mike Conley, is he a hockey player that just transformed into a basketball player? Because this is – I mean, we talked about that face injury a few years ago was crazy. But if he comes back this weekend from this, from a broken back, quite literally, I mean, this is nuts.
Absolutely. It is just ridiculous. And I got to tell you guys – We talked about just kind of the overall NBA stories before we get into the Grizzlies specifically. We'd be remiss without mentioning the passing of Craig Sager. The NBA community at large, of course, very upset about that. So, gentlemen, just before I give some quick thoughts, maybe just a story of Craig Sager for you. Kevin, we can start with you on this. Just something about Craig Sager before we get into the basketball side of things.
I just think with Craig Sager, it speaks so many volumes with, you know, when you talk about sports and you talk about everything, that there's so many different angles and so many different factors of it. And with Craig Sager passing today, just the quite literal universal outpouring of support from everyone, from players, from coaches, from, you know, former players, from trainers. It seemed like everybody had a great story about Craig Sager. And, you know, obviously so many classic interviews. His rapport with Pop over the years, just you knew every time you were getting a gem there. I know the Kevin Garnett bar fight interview comes to mind. It just, you always got the best when from these guys that Craig was interviewing. And from the suits and the fashion to all the off-the-court, you know, inspiration he's provided with the fact that, you know, he fought this for 3 years. It was going just, you know, such a warrior with all of it. You know, see him finally getting a chance to cover the finals last year. You know, it's one of those things you kind of felt that you knew was going to happen eventually. But, I mean, this is tough. It's a tough day as a basketball fan, as just a bigger member of the basketball community. Craig is a legend.
Justin, same thing to you. Some quick thoughts on Craig Sager. And again, we could talk about him for an entire podcast, what he means to the game of basketball. But just maybe your quick thoughts upon hearing the news today.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't talk about Craig Sager without talking about the amazing suit styles. More personal, I guess, story. Back when I was younger in high school, just kind of watching him interview the NBA players, I remember turning to my dad and you know, telling him, I was like, you know what, I think I want to do something like that. And he goes, oh, well, you know, you got to get into radio and interviewing, and, you know, radio and TV is the way to go. And, you know, here I am. I work in radio and I host a podcast. So, you know, a lot of it is back to Craig Sager giving me that inspiration from, you know, seeing him on TV and wanting to do what he does and do it as well as he did it.
I grew up watching the PTI show, and I still watch it on ESPN from time to time when I'm able to get home and catch it. I don't DVR it or anything, but when it's on, I watch it. And they were talking about Sager today, of course, on the program, and Michael Wilbon told a story, him, Sager, and John Thompson back in the day. And, you know, these old sports writer types, they have all sorts of stories. And he said he was giving Sager all sorts of crap, he said, about his suits. And why do you wear suits like that? And all sorts of just giving him a hard time. And then John Thompson pulled him aside and said, "What in the hell are you talking about? Like, you don't understand. He's part of the show." And that is one of the best compliments that I think you can pay Craig Sager is he's one of those announcers. Now, obviously, part of the job is to just be there covering the game. But when you went to a game and you knew Craig Sager was going to be there, you actively looked for him, not even necessarily just for his suits. Obviously, that was the easiest way to spot him. But he was a broadcasting legend. You know, he's up there. And like you said, Justin, he's a lot of the reason that some people got into the business they got into. And that is one of the best legacies you can leave behind, is if you inspire somebody to do what you did and through your actions and your passion, making them want to do something. You know, that's one of the best things, obviously, you can do. He fought it for a long time, like you guys said. And it wasn't completely unexpected, but it still doesn't make it any easier. And, of course, our thoughts and we send our condolences to the Sager family. It's obviously over the news stories of, you know, his son giving him a bone marrow transplant and that they've been through a lot these past few years. So we wanted to make sure we sent our condolences as the rest of the NBA family does, I'm sure, throughout the weekend coming up here to the Sager family on the passing of Craig Sager. Moving on to Grizzlies related topics, we were talking about Mike Conley a little bit there at the jump. And, you know, the thing about Mike Conley, and it's not overly surprising, and we talked about this when the injury first occurred. We did a podcast. It was me and one of our senior writers, Matt Hardlicka. And we were talking about, we have to keep in mind, because people kept comparing the injury to the Tony Romo injury and saying, you know, hey, it's pain tolerance. And Matt and I said, if it's pain tolerance, Conley is going to come back sooner than he should, or he's going to come back sooner because as long as he's not going to re-injure himself, he's going to deal with the pain. I mean, this is a guy who literally broke his face against the Portland Trailblazers, missed maybe 2 games, I think it was, and then he was back playing against the Golden State Warriors in the next playoff series. He is a tough son of a gun. Justin, how do you feel kind of seeing, again, I talked last week about it's good to have people that are outside of the Memphis bubble. Do you think it's smart? And again, we're not doctors or sports physicians here. But do you think that the Grizzlies are smart, Justin, even if Conley is cleared to play, Conley's good to go. They say, hey, he's cleared for basketball activities, which obviously they made that announcement today. Do you think they should still be, you know, kind of gentle with bringing him back? Because between waiving Tony Douglas and sending Wade Baldwin to the Iowa Energy, of course, they can always recall him. That makes it seem like Conley's return is imminent.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think you got to be careful, though, because say he does come back, and they definitely need him. I think that was a big thing. When he did go down, I remember seeing people tweeting, saying, oh, the season's over, trade Gasol, you know, we gotta totally break it down, it's done. And, I mean, Conley already coming back is going to be huge for the team, but I agree. I think you gotta take it easy. I don't think you just throw him into a crazy minute role. Maybe I think Harrison too has given enough example of what he can do that he should deserve some of the minutes and kind of make it less of a problem for Connolly or less of a stress for Connolly to be out there for, you know, 35, 36 minutes. But I do think if Connolly says he's good to go, then, you know, you got to trust your player and say, all right, let's put him out there and you know, keep on winning and keep their hot streak. They're 7-1 in December. You got to keep riding that streak, you know.
And they're 7-1 without Mike Conley,
yeah,
which is the amazing thing. I think it's either 7-1 or 6-1, something like that. Some unbelievable number without the guy who is their MVP to this point. Now, after the Conley injury, you have to give it to Marc Gasol. We'll talk more about Gasol
right
here in a little bit. But, Kevin, I want to bring you in on this, too. You know, the Mike Conley situation in terms of Andrew Harrison, in terms of Wade Baldwin, who was the Grizzlies draft pick in the first round this past year, clearly still needs some seasoning. And I think that's part of the reason he's being assigned to Iowa, especially Conley's return is imminent here. But Andrew Harrison is an interesting case because Tony Douglas came in. He played a few games, obviously, while he was on the hardship waiver extension for the Grizzlies. And he made some fans in Memphis pretty rapidly, even to the point where after the Cavaliers game on Wednesday night, there were people saying that they needed to waive Brandon Wright or find a way to trade someone, or perhaps even, not everybody said this, to be fair, but a couple said they would waive Andrew Harrison, a younger player, great frame, great potential, to keep Tony Douglas. It's a fascinating thing, Kevin, to me, that people, they want their cake and eat, and they want to be able to eat it too. When you play a younger player, they're going to make mistakes. Andrew Harrison is not a perfect player, but he has potential. But you want to say that you have to win every game. That's not how this is going to work. So I was just curious what your perspective was on that kind of general idea. You know, Andrew Harrison leads the NBA rookies in minutes. He's playing well. He defended Chris Paul very well. He's showing growth. But at the same time, there's still Grizzlies fans that are impatient enough to want to play Tony Douglas, who wasn't able to make an NBA roster to start this season, instead of him. Like, to me, that's mind-boggling. I wanted to get your take on that, Kevin.
Well, and that's the thing. You have to have patience. You have to look at the long-term picture. You know, like we said, you know, Justin and I are both Sixers fans, so I think we all know the value of developing young players and letting these guys get their minutes and see who shakes out, who doesn't. You got to trust that process. But, I'm also of the belief that Harrison should be the guy. I think, like you said, put in a lot of quality minutes for this team, has really stepped up. I mean, Tony Douglas, I think it's a short-term memory type deal. You know, I remember I was watching the game against Portland, for example, back on December 8th, and that was, you know, such a memorable game, a Tony Douglas finish at a game in Memphis that especially endears you to the home crowd. I mean, Tony Douglas filled in and played admirably. You know, I know when you were on our show, the Driving Dish NBA podcast, we had talked about Tony Douglas, and we were a little skeptical of how that would play out. I mean, I remember, you know, we were talking about with this streak coming up, it was all about banking wins when Conley went down. You know, here we are 7-1 since. I think that's pretty much been the ideal scenario. But, yeah, I mean, I think everyone needs to step back, take a look at the long-term picture. I know Tony Douglas has been great, but like you said, he didn't make an NBA roster to start the season. It's been a fun story, but at the bigger picture, with the Grizzlies' core starting to get older too, you want to have that nice balance of young guys to get in the mix. So eventually when the day comes when, you know, Marcus Gasol and Zach Randolph and Mike Conley aren't at their peak anymore, you're looking at the next wave of Grizzlies to, you know, keep this sustained run of success that's been going on for the better half of the last decade. And so to that point, I'm a big fan of evaluating younger talent. You've been giving Andrew Harrison the minutes. He's been responding. Rookie players and younger players are going to make mistakes. This happens. It's all part of the growing curve. You know, I think a great example of that, too, is in Minnesota, where we're seeing how much of that learning curve is real. And, you know, it may not look the best right now. You know, that seasoning that he's getting now could really pay off in the next 1, 2, 3 years.
We are talking with two of the three gentlemen who run the Drive-In Dish podcast. Justin Cousart and Kevin Rayfuse. Make sure you're following their podcast on Twitter at Drive and Dish NBA, excuse me. And make sure you're following Justin on Twitter at Justin C on the air. And make sure you're following Kevin at Rayfuse to lose. That's a pretty solid Twitter handle right there. I like that.
Thanks.
So I like that. So you look at the Memphis Grizzlies as a whole. And they're 17-8, I believe I said. That could be, I want to confirm because it's still kind of a dream. 18-9, excuse me. Yeah, that's just ridiculous. So they're 18-9 somehow. And I say somehow because the eternal stat that always looks down upon our beloved Memphis Grizzlies in Memphis is the projected wins and the projected losses. It goes off of your offensive rating, your defensive rating, all sorts of metrics and numbers, and they come up with the Grizzlies should be 14-13 right now. They are not 14-13. They are 18-9. So that means, according to their metric, the Grizzlies have won, and this is basketballreference.com, by the way, the Grizzlies have won 4 games that they weren't supposed to win. And they do this every year. This is not surprising to fans in Memphis anymore. Gentlemen like you who are learned NBA folks, it's not news to you that the Grizzlies consistently outperform this metric. But it is interesting in terms of getting people's gauges, how much they believe in the team. because if you're, you know, solely a numbers guy, and, you know, a lot of people have been proven to be right being numbers guys, you know, you wouldn't believe in this Grizzlies team. You would say they'll fall back to earth at some point. But at the same time, you watch the way they play. You watch the way that they play defense, especially the effort that they play with. You understand that Mike Conley and Chandler Parsons have been out. Justin, do you believe in the Memphis Grizzlies, especially as they get healthy, or do you think they're going to come back down to earth at some point?
Yeah, so that was one of the things I was looking at, is how much faith I had in the Grizzlies. And, you know, the whole thing was, I mean, they're 7-1, or they were 6-1, 7-1 in December, and that was mind-boggling because Connolly was out. And to your point, you're saying that they were four wins, I think you said, above the curve that
yes,
you
sir.
Had there on that stat. And looking at it, I mean, they won against the Warriors and they won against the Cavs, and I'm willing to bet any fan would have assumed the Warriors and the Cavs would have won that, barring LeBron and Love and Kyrie playing that game. The Warriors, that was a great win for the Grizzlies. The problem with the Grizzlies, everyone underestimates them every single year, and I think it's because their defense they're a defensive team, and defense isn't, I guess, pretty is the word I'm looking for, and so people see that, and they see their low offensive rating compared to their defensive rating, so they don't see it as a winning team, but yeah, the Grizzlies year in and year out are a team you do not want to play in the playoffs. They seem to always make it into the playoffs too, and I'm done not having faith in the Grizzlies, so I do think they can make a splash, especially if they are healthy. They can make some noise.
Kevin, same question to you. Do you have faith in these Memphis Grizzlies, especially as they get healthy?
Yeah, absolutely. I think is the short version of that. You know, before the season started, I had the Grizz as high as four in the Western Conference. You know, I thought they were a step above when healthy than, you know, some of these other Western teams, you know, the Houstons, the Oklahoma Cities, the Utahs. I really like this team on paper when it's healthy. And, you know, going into the season, there were a few concerns. I think we both know that last year was not Marc Gasol's finest season. I think he's more than answered those questions this season, especially adding the three-pointer to just his latest arsenal of tricks, which I know is something we're going to talk about extensively coming up. You know, Vince Carter's been great for them. Conley's putting up some of the best numbers he had in years prior to the injuries. Chandler Parsons hasn't even stepped on the floor yet. And again, we're talking about a team that hasn't even really been at 100% yet. Here they are at 18-9. You know, we've mentioned this stretch a bunch of times already, but 7-1 without Conley, so just impressive there. They're banking wins. But before, you know, there's been a lot of talk during the streak that, you know, they're playing, you know, lesser competition with wins over the Lakers, the Sixers, the Pelicans, the Magic. You know, I'm also of the belief that you can only beat who is in front of you, so I don't really take that away. But you even go back, you know, earlier in that, wins against the Jazz, wins against the Clippers. I really like this Grizzlies team. I think, to your point, they have a great team identity. You know they're going to play hard every night. They've been doing this for years and years and years, and I don't know why anyone would sleep on it at this point. I think, again, the continued evolution of Marc Gasol and a bit of his revival this year has been, you know, can continue to carry them. It's all about health. But I said, if they can get Parsons back, if they can get Conley back in the fold and play at the level he was playing prior to the injury, look, there's no reason why this team can't continue to win. And what Justin said, the Grizzlies are one of the last teams you want to play in the playoffs. You know, ask Kevin Durant, ask Russell Westbrook, ask so many guys, Steph Curry a few years ago in the second round, how difficult it is to play this team. You know, Memphis, a great home crowd, so you know it's going to be a tough environment to play in every time, and they just wear you down. I mean, there's a reason you guys are called Grind City. I have a lot of faith in this team once they're healthy. Again, my biggest fear is the health, and I hope they stay healthy. But, I picked them as the preseason at number four in the Western Conference. I'm standing strong.
I think that's wise to do, and we'll talk about why it is wise as we go through the program here. I want to give you guys a statistic. You mentioned Marc Gasol there, Kevin. So I'm going to let you know I have this list up in front of me here of guys that have played at least 25 games so far this season, all right? 25 or more. Marc Gasol is currently fourth in the entire NBA, not among centers, not among Big Ben, in the entire NBA in three-point shooting. He is currently shooting 45.6% from beyond the arc. 45.6%. That is better than players like Jared Dudley. That is better than players like J.J. Redick. That is better than players like Kyrie Irving, Bradley Beal, Kemba Walker, Kevin Love, Chris Paul. The list goes on and on. Marc Gasol is a legitimate three-point threat. And not only is he a three-point threat at this stage, and of course he'll cool off a little bit on those numbers, but he is having a career year across the board. He is just ridiculous in terms of his offensive rating now, right now, which is 111. His defensive rating is 101, so that's a net rating of plus 10, which is just sick. He has so many numbers that jump off the sheet when you look at them. You watch the games. He's confident. He's looking for his shot more than he ever has before. He looks close to. He's not quite what he was in his Defensive Player of the Year campaign, but he's back to much more than respectable on that end. He is the cornerstone of this Grizzlies team on offense and defense. He has been tremendous. Is Marc Gasol a legitimate MVP candidate in your mind? Kevin, I'll start with you. Do you see him as a possible MVP of the NBA? Obviously, there's going to be bigger names in front of him, but does he deserve to be in the conversation?
Yeah, I think he definitely deserves to be in the conversation. It's funny, I wouldn't even have thought about it a few weeks ago, especially because I think all the attention was on Conley, and rightfully so. I mean, when he was putting up the numbers he was putting up, but I think that was the focus of the Grizzlies, and that's why when he went down, it was such a big, you know, deal because of the value he'd been providing, but the way Gasol has stepped up and really carried them to, you know, a lot of these wins have been tough during this streak, and, you know, we have the MVP debate all the time, and you know, is it the best player on the best team, or is it a guy that when you take him off the team, you know, what is the true definition of value? You go back and forth, and, you know, look at where this team would be without Marc Gasol the last few weeks. I mean, you're looking at, you know, potential 0-7, 0-8 stretch even. You know, it would be that type of bleak without those two. You know, he's really stepped up and carried the load. You know, does he jump Russell Westbrook? Does he jump James Harden? Does he jump Kevin Durant on my MVP list? Maybe Chris Paul as well. You know, there's a lot of guys. You know, we've said on the Drive and Dish podcast that the MVP race this year seems to be more crowded than ever. I think there are four, five, six guys who have legitimate arguments for the award. And again, I think Westbrook and Harden are going to be the front runners for a long time, but I certainly think Marc Gasol has positioned himself to be in the conversation, if nothing else. So even if he's not the favorite, I think you do need to begin to, you know, have him in the conversation, especially if the winning keeps up. He's been the catalyst these last few weeks.
And I think that's important to understand. That's my point. And again, I am a Grizzlies blogger. I run the site for SB Nation's Memphis Grizzlies fan blog. I'm going to be a little bit biased, but Justin, I'm not saying that the guys should be the front runner. Of course, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, there's going to be guys that rightfully so should be at the forefront of that conversation. But the fact that Marc Gasol is in the conversation is a big deal for the Memphis Grizzlies. This is a team that's still relatively new in the NBA landscape, and they've got a guy in Marc Gasol, and as Kevin pointed out, and he's exactly right, Mike Conley was playing better than him before he went down due to injury. You've got two players that are really performing at an exceptionally high level in Memphis, Tennessee. Just being in the conversation is a big deal, right, Justin?
I completely agree, and I think it was, listening to your podcast, I think it was last week you were saying like almost 70% of their salary is wrapped up between Gasol, Parsons, and Connolly, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, it's really impressive that Marc Gasol is in it. Sadly, I think there's bigger names ahead of him, like you were saying. But one of the things that stuck out to me is in December, and I know we're only seven games in at this point, but in December, Marc Gasol has a net rating that's a 17.7, and yeah, the threes are like the revelation for him. He's been killing it with three, 41 this year already, like you said, 45%. It's definitely an MVP argument for him. He even won the Western Conference Player of the Week, averaging 27 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists last week when LeBron got it for the Eastern Conference. So Marc Gasol is definitely getting recognized for his play, and rightly so. Sadly, I just think there's going to be some bigger names over him in the end for whoever does win the MVP vote.
At the very least, he's going to be in the conversation for the all-NBA teams again, and I think that is certainly a worthy distinction. I know Boogie Cousins is very talented and he puts up numbers, but to me, Marc Gasol is the best center in the NBA, period, end of story. And again, I'm biased, but I've watched the guy play now for several years. When he's healthy, when he's on and he's engaged, he is really, really a treat to watch. And a lot of people don't get to see him as much because he plays in Memphis. But if you have a league pass and you watch the Memphis Grizzlies play, you know Marc Gasol is legit. We're talking to Justin Cusart and Kevin Rafuse of the Drive and Dish podcast. Make sure you're following Drive and Dish on Twitter at Drive and Dish NBA. Make sure you're following Justin at JC on the air. And make sure you are following Kevin at Rafuse, R-A-F-U-S-E, to lose on Twitter. We mentioned Chandler Parsons, and he's kind of the forgotten man in all of this. When we went into this season, and I did the season preview podcast with you guys, I believe, we talked about Chandler Parsons kind of being the X factor. If Marc Gasol and Mike Conley played to the level that we felt and I felt that they were capable of, which they were doing before Conley's injury, and obviously Gasol is doing now, as we mentioned, they were going to be a team that could be in the 6-7, maybe even the 5-seed conversation. They were a playoff team even without Chandler Parsons. Chandler Parsons is the one who expands that ceiling. Chandler Parsons is the one that if he comes in and plays the way that he's capable of, this team, in my opinion, is terrifying because now you have a lineup when you go Conley, Ennis, Parsons, Jamichael Green, and Gasol. Or maybe you go Chandler Parsons as your stretch four and you bring in Vince Carter. That's five people that can shoot three-point shots. That's five. The Grizzlies have never had that. And then you add in a Tony Allen who's doing better offensively this season as a slasher and a cutter. Maybe you bring him in instead of Vince Carter as a defender, and now you're sound defensively, especially if you have Jamichael Green at the four. So you're looking at a team that can throw a lot of different looks at you once Chandler Parsons comes back into the fold, if he can come back into the fold healthy. And that has been a major question. And one of the topics on our blog, grizzlybearblues.com, has been, do you regret the Chandler Parsons signing? Somebody in a comment in the comment section said that they should have signed Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes would have been a better signing than Chandler Parsons. Now, I don't know if I agree with that. But in your guys' opinion, and I'll start with you on this, Justin, does the Chandler Parsons contract already look bad to you, or are you being a little bit more patient?
I think, honestly, and I know you're going to hate this comparison, but I think the way Harrison Barnes is playing for the Mavericks right now, it makes it look a little bit worse because, from my understanding, their contracts are very similar. I do think Parsons could bring more than Barnes could once Parsons is playing. But at the moment, with the injuries and the knee problems, it does, you know, at what point, how many games does he have to play for it to become worth it for the team, I guess, becomes the question. And I just, at this point, I'm worried he's not going to make it to that mark. And, you know, and it sucks because Parsons is one of my favorite players to watch. I really like seeing him play. And I think I looked up a stat when Parsons and Gasol play together or something like that, their offensive rating is 101.4, which is what the Grizzlies need. We talk about their defense is solid all the time. They need the help on the offensive end to get that extra offensive push. And that was what Parsons was for. And at the moment, obviously being injured, he can't deliver on that.
Kevin, another underrated aspect of Parsons' game is his ability to be a facilitator. He can create off of the pick and roll, the pick and pop. He's a very good guy in terms of being a bigger wing. And again, he can play that stretch four position in theory. He's done it in his previous stops, especially in Dallas. He can create off of that pick and roll, a pick and pop between him and Marc Gasol if Parsons is healthy. Could be potentially lethal. But Kevin, the question, like we were just talking about with Justin, is the durability question. Is he going to be able to play enough games to make that contract worthy? Now, I always caution people, you know, revisionist history is always convenient. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Portland Trailblazers both wanted Chandler Parsons. They both recruited him. They both offered him the same contract. Chandler Parsons was surely, when you're getting ready to offer $94 million to someone, examined by the Portland Trailblazers as well as the Memphis Grizzlies, and some of the smartest medical minds in sports medicine decided that he was worthy or was capable of owning up to a four-year $94 million contract. The Memphis Grizzlies could have very easily, if not gotten, you know, Harrison Barnes, which I think would be a positive. I prefer the person signing still, but Barnes would be better than what Portland had to do, which is essentially waste $70 million on Evan Turner, who isn't good at basketball. So you look at where Memphis is at, and obviously the person signing has not gone the way that they wanted it to this stage. But for me, Kevin, it's still really early to make the call that they shouldn't have done it. And you also have to keep in mind the process that they came to. Chandler Parsons is, bar none, the biggest free agent signing that the Memphis Grizzlies had ever had. They had to take that risk, at least in my opinion. What do you think?
Well, I think I remember doing the preview show with you, and that was one of the things we talked about was, you know, Chandler Parsons is the first big free agency signing really ever in Memphis history. So I think there's value in that for itself. You know, you mentioned earlier that, you know, the Grizzlies are still a relatively new franchise in Memphis. So I think, you know, adding to that, continuing to add to that validity that Memphis is an awesome basketball city helps. Now, you know, Dallas also wanted Parsons back. Again, they were a little wary of the money, and obviously they dealt with the injuries the last 2 years. And, you know, Parsons is definitely an underrated facilitator, like you said, averaging almost 3 assists a game during his tenure with Dallas. But, I mean, to the bigger point, you look at the window for the Grizzlies, and the Grizzlies have been a great story, but it's been, you know, getting it to the next level. And we talked about what Parsons can do. Again, you know, you mentioned it earlier. They could put 5 3-point shooters on the floor. He's so explosive off the wing. He can play the three for you. He can play the four in lineups. So it gives you different, you know, combinations of guys that you can throw out there. So there's that versatility. But again, it's all about patience. This is a 4-year deal. If Parsons can't play for the next 3 seasons, you know, if that were to unfortunately happen, then of course you're going to get burned a little bit. But, you know, when you're building a championship team, there's not a perfect strategy to just do it. And sometimes you have to take these inherent risks. When Chandler Parsons is healthy, he is an excellent basketball player. I don't think anyone in this podcast, I don't think anyone who watches the NBA can doubt that. You know, is there the risk with the knees? Of course there is. We've seen it. We saw it in Houston a little bit. It was on full display in Dallas, obviously, with the issues over the last 2 years. But you talk about Memphis with Marcus Gasol and with Conley and with Zach Randolph, you know, getting older and older. They're on the wrong sides of their prime. You want to try to make a run at it while you can. And with Chandler Parsons, I think this Grizzlies team can really make a lot of noise in the West. I think it's unfair, at basically a quarter into the first season of the deal, to call anything a failure just yet. I think you want to see how it plays out. If Parsons, you know, can't play at the level that he's been playing in the past because of injuries and he's limited, then you could start to have these questions. But I'm not going to, you know, there are certain contracts that I think you could start to scrutinize right away based on the early returns. I think we haven't seen enough of Parsons to even remotely begin doing that. And I still think the upside is just so high that I'm not going to bash the Grizzlies for taking a risk on that. The reward is too high for me to be worried about, you know, the numbers just yet.
Parsons hasn't been healthy yet, fellas. I mean, we haven't seen what this team can do with a healthy Chandler Parsons. I mean, to me, that's the most exciting part. May you never see a healthy Chandler Parsons? Yeah, that's possible. You may never see a healthy Parsons in a Grizzlies uniform. I hope that that's, you know, wrong, and he comes back in these next couple of weeks, and we really see what this offense can do under David Fizdale. Speaking of David Fizdale, we're talking about this team not having Mike Conley, not having Chandler Parsons. Two major pieces of their machine have been out for an extended period of time, and they're 18-9. They're sitting pretty in the Western Conference playoff picture at the moment. There has to be something in the water in Memphis, or maybe it's just the fact that they hired the right guy. Dave Yeager moves on to Sacramento. Obviously, Yeager comes back to Memphis for the first time on Friday night as the Kings play the Grizzlies, and he might have to play against Conley and Parsons and the whole team. That'd be awesome if that actually does come to fruition. I'd be surprised. But anyway, David Fizdale gets hired. He was a lead assistant in Miami under Eric Spoelstra. He came with great recommendations from players. Players love him. LeBron James tweeted about how happy he was for Coach Fiz after he saw him in the game in Cleveland a couple of nights ago. And David Fizdale, to me, we talked about Marcus Gasol being a dark horse MVP candidate, Russell Westbrook, James Harden. There's players that are just probably much more likely to win that award because of their performances and their numbers. To me, the first quarter of the season coach of the year is David Fizdale with a bullet. And it's not even a question, in my opinion, because of what he's done with this roster, what he's done developing these players. And it's not just the rookies. Marcus Gasol has a 3-point shot. Zach Randolph has been convinced to pursue sixth man of the year. Zebo has started one game all season, and he's played well when he's played. So it really is, at least offensively, he's had some defensive struggles. So when you look at what this roster has done, it's essentially, especially the core players, it's the same guys, Tony Allen, Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, Mike Conley before he got hurt. you know, and it's younger players. He has taken a group and really gotten as much out of them to this point as he possibly can. I mean, to me, the coach of the year through the first quarter of the season, and I've seen other publications and podcasts say the same thing, and I'll start with you on this, Kevin. It's David Fizdale. David Fizdale has to be the coach of the year to this point.
I mean, he's certainly got a strong case. I mean, the 7-1 run, you know, we keep going back to it, but that certainly buoys it. You know, what I like about David Fizdale is he's come in and he hasn't really, you know, he didn't try to tear the house down. You know, Memphis has had this established identity. The core is the same. You don't get, you know, you get guys to try and reinvent themselves, but you don't do anything crazy. I think the Grizzlies play tough every night. I don't think their identity has changed too much. But I also think, you know, he has pushed the right buttons. He's told Marc Gasol, Mark, let it fly. He is not remotely discouraged that, and that's obviously having big-time impacts for the Grizzlies this year. And more importantly, he's not hesitant to draw up Marc Gasol for these late-game plays. I mean, how many times this season, obviously the Marc Gasol shimmy is going to be the one that everybody remembers the most, but you know, he's gone to Marc Gasol. I remember a game against my Sixers where he didn't make it, but Marc Gasol had a clean look in the corner, and that, you know, that's what they're drawing up. He hasn't tried to do anything, you know, he hasn't tried to do anything too ridiculous. He, you know, he's maximizing the talent. Guys like Wade Baldwin, who have come in and had success, like you said, going back to the D League, but still getting quality minutes. Andrew Harrison, you know, this was the second round pick who is putting in a ton of minutes this year, and they've been able to stay afloat. You know, and another guy that we talked about, Jermichael Green, has really continued. You know, we expected a bit of a leap from him this year. We've seen encouraging signs in the past, and he seems to be taking it. And we know his consistency is so key, as he's been the only Grizzly player to play every single game this season. You know, so much of coaching to me is getting the best out of your guys and getting the best out of every situation and just keeping things going. And that, to me, has been the resilience and that David Fizdale has been preaching, and just keeping this team focused and not missing a beat. And, you know, we've mentioned banking these wins so many times, and they just continue to get it done no matter what, in close games, in, you know, bigger margin games, but mostly in these close games. I mean, along this streak, so many of these win differentials have been by, you know, single digits. They've been tight games down the stretch every single time. So I just think the fact that they're continuing business as usual has to put them in that conversation, because I can't see a team that's had as much adversity as the Grizzlies had in the early part of the season. I mean, you can argue Utah, but Utah really is just clicking now. If we're talking the first quarter of the season, it's probably got to be Fizdale for my money. I agree.
Fizdale for my money as well. And Justin, we had a comment in our chat room, which is really doing very well. Thanks for everybody being in the chat room tonight. A good question from Jose, or a good comment. He's had good questions too. But Jose says, I think the Grizz now have a really deep roster. Now, this is shocking. And I kind of agree with that, because going into the season, you saw the youth, you saw Brandon Wright on the roster, you saw Vince Carter, you knew veterans would probably be served, and those young guys would still be developed. They'd see some minutes, but they'd be spotty. Now, because of the health concerns, their development has been accelerated, and David Fizdale has been able to get the most out of these players in these situations. If this team does become healthy, now all of a sudden you're 10 or 11 deep, and you're looking at young guys that can come in like an Andrew Harrison and give you 18 good minutes. He probably shouldn't be playing 34 like he has had to do with Conley out, but 18 to 20 minutes, I think that's great use of Andrew Harrison. You look at a Jarrell Martin, who we had a piece up on the site this week, grizzlybearblues.com. Kevin Young did a piece on Jarrell Martin and his game and how he has really kind of stepped it up this season. Him in 12 to 14 minutes is probably great for the second-year player. Him in 25 to 30, he's a little bit outside of his role. So Memphis really has been, and Jose says it, the injuries have been a blessing in disguise, and he takes the words right out of my mouth. Now you're looking at young guys who are a little bit more seasoned that, Justin, when they are called on, when they are needed, they're going to be able to deliver more than maybe they had been before. And again, that's a testament to the coaching of David Fizdale and his staff, is it not?
I agree. And another part of that blessing in disguise in my mind, and I think we kind of talked about it when you came on our podcast, we had talked about how, you know, with these young guys doing so well and really living up to the expectation or even exceeding the expectation that they needed, it takes the pressure off of, you know, Parsons and Connolly to come back earlier, although it looks like they're going to. But they, you know, if they needed the time, there wasn't that rush. They were, you know, they were winning the games. But again, back to the Fizdale, I completely agree with him being the coach of the year. Grizz, the number one defensive net rating. They hold. I think I saw a stat. They're holding opponents to 46% shooting percentage in December now. Again, to your point, the Randolph moving to six. His per 36 numbers look amazing. And to Kevin's point, again, what he's coached in six overtime periods now already as a rookie head coach. And you know, all their wins, 14 of their wins have come by 6 points or less. And when it comes down to those close games, it really speaks to the coach being able to draw up that play and get Gasol open in these cases for that open look to so that he can do the shimmy or, you know, whatever kind of dance he wants to do when he nails that three.
Unbelievable. The McGregor strut, the McGregor arm flail, absolutely, from Conor McGregor. And Tim Tompkins, your guys' boy, also from the Drive and Dish NBA podcast, he chimes in on the chat room and he says Hornacek with the Knicks should be up there for Coach of the Year, third in the East. Yeah, that's fair, Tim. But at the same time, this is a Grizzlies podcast here. We're gonna talk David Fizdale and how terrific he is. The New York Knicks, they get enough attention. We're gonna keep the focus on the Grizzlies here. But yes, the Knicks have overperformed. I think the Knicks are probably a good example of kind of like what the Grizzlies have been doing in the West. Nobody really expected the New York Knicks to be playing as well as they are. Well, we got a couple of other comments in the chat room that I definitely want to again, from Jose, glad he's chiming in from Canada. Pretty cool to have a Canada fan in the chat. Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of things he asked before we get to the end here. He talked a little bit about Douglas. He just turned in, so he missed us talking a little bit about Tony Douglas, obviously youth being served instead of Tony Douglas being served. But he did play well for the Grizzlies. So just to kind of reiterate, do we think there was really a roster move to be made to keep him, like trading a Brandon Wright for a second-round pick from the Brooklyn Nets or something like that? Or do you think that he just had to be waived? Justin, I'll start with you on that.
I think with I saw a lot of people writing with Brandon Wright. They think that you're going to have to play him a little bit so that he can show off that he's
right,
healthy,
yeah.
and a little bit, and then you'll get like maybe a pick for him. But I think yeah, the way they went now, keep the young guys. You know, I think the young guys are your future, and they made the right move.
And Kevin, we talked a little bit about this already, but you agree with that sentiment, I'm guessing.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, Andrew Harrison, I think, has a potential longer-term future in this organization going forward. So I think you want to give him the minutes now. Again, until Conley gets back, if you bring Baldwin back up, I think he's better served by getting minutes as well. So I think while Tony Douglas has been a fun story, you know, I remember, like I said, during the Portland game, I remember tweeting something from our account, like, man, Tony Douglas is just cooking down the stretch. And the Memphis fans were loving it in our mentions. But great story. Definitely been fun to watch these past few games, but you got to look at the big term picture here, and I'm unfortunately letting Tony Douglas go. I think he'll get a shot somewhere else, though. I think he's played well enough during the stretch to get another look somewhere.
And I'm glad you said that, because I was going to say that as well. That's a good perspective to have. He has shown that he belongs on an NBA roster somewhere. It's just not in Memphis, where they have two young guys that they're trying to mold and develop into being solid rotation backup players for their team. Tony Douglas is not a part of the future of the Memphis Grizzlies. Wade Baldwin and Andrew Harrison are, because of the contracts that they signed and, of course, the investment that they put in terms of minutes into those two players. The other question with Jose, and I, this was a good one, does Mike Conley now have a chance of making the All-Star game that he may be back as soon as Friday's game against the Kings? I'm going to say no, and it hurts my heart to say no. I think and we talked a little bit about this with the MVP race, it's so loaded in the Western Conference with good point guards, Steph Curry, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul. You know, you miss any games. I mean, George Hill is going to be another victim of this. George Hill was having a monster season to start out the 2016-2017 campaign, and then he went down due to various ailments. I think he's out currently with a toe injury, and he's kind of out on the outside looking in now too. So I think Conley is just, even in just seven games or so missed, if he comes back for the Utah game Sunday, maybe it's eight. Even in just those eight games, I think he's missed too much time. And those guys that have been around who probably were in front of him anyway, Kevin, I just think that that's too much for Mike to overcome.
Yeah, and I think so much of it in the Western Conference is just being on the radar, and I think, you know, losing that name recognition, because I think the general NBA narrative was how well Mike Conley was doing at the beginning of the season, and so I think losing that momentum hurts. Like you said, the Western Conference is loaded with star power at the point guard position, and guys who, frankly, are bigger household names than Mike Conley is. You know, the All-Star voting is not perfect, to say the least, but, you know, when you look at guys like Russell Westbrook, and you look at Steph Curry, and you look at Chris Paul, and you look at, well, James Harden, you will throw him into the shooting guard conversation, but you know, you look at those three guys, while Conley is definitely having every bit as good of a season as they were pre-injury, that name recognition goes such a long way, and I think he's unfortunately going to fall victims to the numbers crunch. It's not to say that he's not having an all-star caliber season, because I think he's definitely having that, and you hope he returns to that if he comes back this weekend. But at the same time, you know, unfortunately, it's a numbers game. There's only so many point guards you can put on the all-star team.
Numbers game, that's a fact. And Justin, when you look at that Western Conference all-star team, you would imagine that Marc Gasol is probably a favorite to make it at this stage. But Mike Conley, because of all of the guards that are out there, just not in the cards for him. But that shouldn't necessarily be something that he feels down on himself with. You know, this rest could really pay off for Mike in the long run. Maybe he gets a couple of weeks off, and obviously I'm not saying, oh, he should have broken his back sooner. That's not what I mean. But it's an opportunity for him to kind of rest his legs, get himself back ready, roll, and now he can really launch himself when he comes back if he's fully healthy. Again, that's the Memphis if healthy Grizzlies. That's who we're talking about here. But Conley's return could really mean not necessarily individual accolades, but it could really, especially offensively, wake these Memphis Grizzlies up. And that could get his numbers up as well. And maybe he works his way back into the conversation, Justin.
I completely agree. And that was just kind of mentioning Hill again and Conley. I like to call it getting damed, because Damian Lillard always seems to get looked over for the All-Star games. But it's just because there's so many point guards in the Western Conference that have such big names and put up huge highlights, and they're all over, you know, the Twitter little clips that everyone tweets out, they're all over. You always see
Vines and such.
Yeah, Vine's dead now, but I completely agree. He shouldn't be upset by it. It's not a knock on him. It's just there's so many big name guys that he's just kind of gonna get looked over. But, yeah, that rest is going to help him. He's going to come back and really provide the offensive punch that the Grizzlies need, for sure.
We're wrapping up here with the guys of the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Make sure you're following them on Twitter, at Drive and Dish NBA. You can also follow Kevin at RefuseToLose and Justin at JustinConTheAir. Justin C on the air. Now, we always end our show, gentlemen, with a preview of the week to come for the Memphis Grizzlies between our now and our next recording of the live podcast. We'll be back on Blog Talk Radio on December 22nd with the new show. There's four games between now and then. They play the Sacramento Kings at home on Friday night. Again, the question of Conley and Parsons' return will dominate the weekend. It sounds like they're doubtful for the Kings game. Maybe that makes the Utah game the one that they're shooting for their comeback. Tuesday, they face the Boston Celtics. Almost certainly by then, you'll have Conley and Parsons back in the fold, just in time to take the night off Wednesday, probably, when they play the Detroit Pistons in the second night of a back-to-back. Last week when I did these previews, I was hoping for 1-3, and I got 3-1. So I'm looking at these four games, and I'm thinking maybe 3-1 is realistic among these four, which probably means they're going to go 1-3, just to even out the universe on me.
Right.
But Justin, I'll start with you on the previews here. Even if you're not a big fan, I have guests sometimes that are like, oh, I don't like to make numbers predictions, like record. That's fine. But what do you see in the week ahead for the Grizzlies? Do you see more rest coming from Marc Gasol, especially on that back-to-back? How do you see the injured returning players coming back? Because James Ennis is somebody who we haven't talked about a ton on the show, but he was having a great start to his season before his calf injury. He's another key player for this Grizzlies team moving forward. So James Ennis will surely be back. It looks like he's probable for the game against Sacramento Friday night. So what are you looking for the Grizzlies as they apparently, before anybody thought they would, get healthy over the next few games?
Right. Looking at it, I was just thinking, man, Sacramento and Utah and then Detroit, Marc Gasol is going to have some some guys to bang down low with for sure. So I could see them giving him a rest maybe at some point during it. But I think they could beat the Kings. I think they could beat Boston, and they can beat Detroit. So I'm cool with going 3-1.
Yeah, I think 3-1 would be good. That's my hope as well. That's mm-hmm. my official prediction. I could see them perhaps dropping the Boston game, and Detroit on the second night of a back-to-back will be tough too. But I believe Memphis is still undefeated on the second night of a back-to-back this season, which still makes them one of the weirdest teams in the NBA. but we love them anyway in Memphis, especially for that weirdness. Kevin, same question to you. What are you looking for the Grizzlies in the week ahead? Do you see 3-1 as a possibility for them, maybe even better or maybe even worse?
Oh, I think 3-1 is definitely a possibility. I mean, if I look at these four games, toughest one is on Sunday against Utah. You know, as of recording this right now, Utah's won 9 of 11. They're getting healthy finally, kind of in the same boat as Memphis, so I think that's going to be a tough game. But a really interesting one, especially if Memphis is it's tough because Memphis isn't fully healthy yet, so you won't see them, clash. But these are two teams that are very similar, and I think could have a really entertaining playoff series potentially down the line. But, I mean, 3-1 was ideal. Sacramento's a very winnable game. I think Detroit's a very winnable game. Same with Tuesday at Boston. I would probably see them resting Gasol maybe on the back-to-back, give him one game off. You know, he's put in a lot of minutes recently. I also think the X factor here is if Parsons and Ennis mm-hmm. and Conley all come back, there's going to kind of be that awkward first game or two back where you're getting back into game shape, so you're not playing quite as well as you would be if you were in a rhythm and you're still kind of tinkering your lineups a little bit and you're changing that consistency. So maybe they drop a game or two there that they shouldn't. I think 2-2 is probably the minimum, and I think that's very realistic. But, there's a chance to go 3-1 here, and obviously, all these wins matter in the Western Conference, so I think there's a big opportunity for the Grizz here.
Because of that, Kevin, I kind of hope, again, you don't want to force them back too early, but I almost hope that they come back and play maybe 20 minutes or so against the Sacramento Kings and kind of mm-hmm. get that out of their system. Because you're exactly right. That is going to be an issue for them, kind of working the Kinks out, especially in the case of Parsons, who's never really worked the Kinks in for this season at this point. Ennis and Conley, like we mentioned, were having good seasons leading up to their injuries. So hopefully they play against Sacramento if they are capable. If they're not, obviously be cautious with them and go with Utah. But you're right. They're going to have a tough go of it, at least at first, whenever they do return. It's amazing that this is even a topic that we're talking about. I was anticipating Parsons being out another week at least and Conley being out until January. So Christmas has come early in Memphis with this news that health may actually be on the way. And Christmas came early to GBB Live with you two guys being my guests. You see what I did there? That was nice.
Ah.
I compliment myself on this show. I'm the host. I can I can pat myself on the back. In all seriousness, gentlemen, it was wonderful having you guys on. This was a great, great podcast episode. And I appreciate the time. You guys know I've told you before. I'm happy to come on your guys' show anytime. And same thing here. We'll be sure to have you on GBB Live again in the future.
Absolutely, Joe. We appreciate you, man. Thank you for having us. As always, again, thank you for coming on our show. You're one of our favorite guests. We always love talking shop with you. And mm-hmm. We appreciate you guys having us. This has been fun.
Of course. Absolutely. Justin, same to you. Thank you so much, buddy.
Yes, thank you. Have a great week. And go Grizz.
Go Grizz. See, there we go. That's a good way to end. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
See ya.
All right, that was Justin Cousart and Kevin Rafuse of the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Make sure you're following their podcast on Twitter at Drive and Dish NBA. That was a great segment. We're wrapping up here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. What a great show this has been. A wonderful way to wrap up an amazing week for the Memphis Grizzlies that has really ended in a nice fashion for them. They're getting healthier faster than maybe they thought they would. Of course, we would be remiss if we didn't mention Deontay Davis. We mentioned him at the beginning, promising big man for Memphis, really looking like one of the steals of the 2016 NBA draft. Obviously, he was a lottery projection by our Chip Williams, NBA draft expert over at GBB. And he slid all the way down to the second round. Memphis lucked out. He was there for them. They took him, and he has looked like a talented, talented player going down with a plantar fasciitis injury that'll hold him out for 6 to 8 weeks. So speedy recovery to Deontay, get better so you can get back on the floor. And then, of course, Brandon Wright is still out. But on the wing and on the perimeter, Chandler Parsons, Mike Conley, and James Ennis all scheduled to make their returns within the next two or three games. James Ennis more eminent, perhaps, than the other two. It's an exciting time for Memphis. They're performing above expectations without two of their three best players, and those two guys, Chandler Parsons, hopefully a little closer to what fans were expecting to see from him from the beginning, and Mike Conley, of course, who's been playing so well before he got hurt. If they can come in and if they can start to get this thing clicking, like the gentleman said, Kevin and Justin, you don't want to see this Grizzlies team in the playoffs, and it's different than it's been in the past. It's not an, oh, man, they're going to kick your ass. That's why you don't want to see them in the playoffs. It's an, oh, man, they might beat us, like physically and in terms of the scoreboard, because of what they can do offensively, because of the versatility and the wrinkles that have been added by Coach of the Year candidate David Fizdale. It's a culture thing. It's a buy-in thing. And these Grizzlies have bought in to what Fizdale is saying and his coaching staff, and that is only going to help this team in the future. Our next episode of this show is going to be Thursday, December 22nd. It'll be our Christmas edition of GBB Live. We'll take a Christmas break that next week. We won't have a podcast. It'll be the last show of 2016. We will talk Grizzlies, of course. We'll break down the week that was. We'll look ahead to the next, you know, six or seven games, since we'll be taking the week off after the 22nd. Looking forward to that. As always, our next program will be December 22nd, 8 p.m. Central Time. Join us for the live recording next Thursday night. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at GBB Live. Make sure you are subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, giving us a rating, giving us a review. Those are much appreciated. Make sure you're checking out FanEssentials.net as part of our Christmas show next week. We will be giving away a FanEssentials.net subscription. That would be a nice little Christmas gift for those looking for something to maybe a stocking stuffer or a gift, a last-minute gift heading into the holiday. So we will give away a Fan Essentials box next week. Make sure you're tuning in, looking to GBB Live for details on how to get involved in that. Thanks so much to Kevin and Justin of the Drive and Dish podcast for joining me on this week's show. Thanks so much to you, as always, for listening and tuning in to what has been the most successful season of GBB Live to date. It is much appreciated. It's because of you. So thank you very much. Continue to make GrizzlyBearBlues.com your one-stop shop for all Memphis Grizzlies blog content. We continue to churn out great stuff day in and day out. So keep making GBB, even if it's just a small part of your Memphis Grizzlies fan experience. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Grind forth, Grizz Nation. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live.